Welcome everyone. This is a new episode of Spring Tribe Podcast. Enjoy. Yeah, so today we're talking with Spring Tribe Podcast. After a long pause, it will be like the second interview with Serish, also the That Girl podcast. You will hear the first episode if you missed it. And this is the second episode today. And we will talk about like the current conflict with Ukraine and how we as people can deal with that. And having the, let's say, positive outlook and inner warmth and empathy and being helpful to others while being, let's say, peaceful or having a peace of mind and not being overwhelmed by anxiety, fear, or anger. And that will be our today's topic. So welcome, Serisha. Very nice to have you with me.
Hello, hi everyone, and thank you so much for having me.
Let me shortly introduce you, Serisha, to you. She is like covering a wide area of topics about, let's say, career, personal feelings, development, talking about many things, some cultural topics and emotional topics. So I was really touched by one of their episodes. Of her episode about like let's say how to express emotions and vulnerability, and I think we are all becoming like vulnerable to the world because so much crisis and conflicts, war happen around us. How do you feel about that, Serisha?
Yes, definitely. The Ukraine incident was very heartbreaking, and you could see that. You know, even in Berlin, they're taking in refugees. A lot of countries are coming together to help. So I believe that humanity still exists. And, you know, we all have that sense of empathy in us, and we are all compassionate in some way to join our hands together to help a set of people. And definitely it causes a lot of anxiety. And, you know, you can see that people are very scattered all over the world. And there are relatives from people who are in other countries. They have relatives from Ukraine, and they're struggling really hard mentally to, you know, to think about what had to be done to save their family or to bring their family to safety. And even though government is taking a lot of steps to help people in, we could see that, you know, there is always a pinch of anxiety or, you know, a very hardcore feeling when it is someone who belongs to us like very closely. And that is something we all need to address about, where, you know, it is not easy. It is not, we cannot neglect the fact that, you know, anxiety and your mental health going down is, you know, normal during such situations. And everybody needs to take certain precautions to take care of themselves and people around. And yeah, that is what we're going to talk about today. And I'm really glad that I could address this topic with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. So what would you think is helpful like for like dealing with these disasters happening around us? How to maintain the inner peace? How to remain, let's say, with empathy to the people, but also with like a peaceful attitude or like a peace of mind attitude where we are not overwhelmed by fear, anger, or anxiety about what's happening, but we just like, let's say, living in the moment Do you have an idea how to live in the moment and being having the peace of mind in this kind of period of like drastic changes?
Yes, definitely. I always tell myself that, you know, when certain days are not, certain period of my time is not good, I tell myself that I had to take it one day at a time. So what matters is right now and today. So that's something that I really try to follow, and I follow. The second thing would be that, you know, having that sense of respect, you know, for people who are there to help. And there are a lot of people who are giving out helping hand. And I think to just take that leap of faith and understand that, you know, it has happened not only just for my family, but it has happened to people all around the globe. And, you know, instead of being too emotional about it, maybe I should be a little practical and think what had to be done at this time to take immediate action into bringing their family to safety or helping the people in need, rather than, you know, taking it to emotional where you're kind of feeling low and you cannot function the next day. So that is really important. And the third thing is to take care of your mental health by meditating, journaling, writing about your feelings, or, you know, talking to a friend. All of these could help. And I guess people like you and me are here to talk about this. I think that shows some kind of compassion here. And I think that sense of support, that sense of community is really important in such a crisis. So, yes.
Yeah. For me, like personally, I try to understand all sides. So I have Russian friends, I have people who are coming from the Ukraine here and they follow the news, but I also be aware that we also need to stop and must address the violence against Russians that are occurring in Germany, even, for example, Russian shops or even Russian citizens being addressed as people that might have to do something with the war, or they be addressed to explain Putin's behavior or things like this. Which is like kind of separating us, because we are usually seeing every people as humans. We all have the same desires. We're all the same people. But like this kind of conflicts, they bring the conflicts that used to be abroad to our home countries, and the different migrant communities. How is it with your friends and with your colleagues? Do you discuss about that? Do you have, like, let's say, friends on both sides of the conflict, and how would you deal with them if you would have like friends on both sides of the conflict?
I personally don't have friends from Russia or Ukraine, but I have friends who have talked about, you know, all of this, and there are some people who say that what Ukraine did is right, or, you know, what Russia did is right. But avoiding the political reasons, or, you know, reasoning out why certain action was taken during this time of the year, maybe it's good to address that, you know, both of the sides are people, and just for political reasons, common people like us are getting affected. And that is something that really has to be considered when it comes to declaring a war against a country. And it's just not, you're just not affecting the government or the democracy, but people in itself. So there are a lot of older people, there are a lot of children, there are a lot of middle-aged people who are working and who found their living in their city. And it's really hard for them to be a refugee in a different country where they're trying to adapt to those changes and, you know, find a job, find a livelihood, find a school. It's definitely very, very difficult. And I think this has to be considered by both the countries in this matter, and, you know, have that conversation or have a proper communication where things has to be decided rightly. And I just don't want to get too political in this matter, but considering the pandemic, considering what has happened for the past 2 years, you know, a lot of things have affected us mentally, physically. And I think at this time, we really need to consider about, you know, just surviving, just living, because people are fighting a virus in, at this time of the year. We don't really want to fight each other. That's something that
absolutely.
I strongly believe in.
For me, it was like overshadowing even that we had a couple of wars in this corona period and before. Let's say the Armenian-Azerbaijan war, the war in Yemen, and the war in many other places around the world. When I hear the news, I say, like, we have a corona crisis, we have the vaccine problem, we have the hospitals full of people with corona disease and so on. And people still do start wars in the period of global crisis. And for like everyday people, it's totally exhausting. Exhausting on the one level, like psychologically, feeling exhausted after like isolation, the pandemic, the different rules, the set of rules, the traveling, the like isolation at home, quarantine, and so on. And then the set of different wars that's ongoing, the changes of the global world, and so on. And then to just like sit there with a peace of mind and saying, okay, everything shall be good, and I'm still alive, and you're still alive, and I can have tea, and I eat food, and so on. I'm happy to be alive and to sharing, and at the same time feeling the empathy with the people and say, like, okay, I do something good for the people, but at the same time I need to notice what happens in the world, but not being overshadowed by the news, the media, and what's happening all the time. I think that's also a big difference of the population age or generation question. So when I think about my parents, they were limited. They got a limited access to media, to what's happening in the globe. To experience like international, intercultural, interreligious dialogue, and so they were unaware of many conflicts. So they had a more peaceful time in the world that's in a peace of their mind. So they say, like, okay, we are living in the rural areas. We know something about Germany and Poland and some two or three other countries, and that's it. And if these countries are peaceful, then I don't notice any other things that's happening. And they are often talking about the new normality when they were talking about coronavirus, and that they say, like, okay, wearing a mask, being vaccinated like every couple of months is a new normality. And like the conflicts around the world, they were always happening. Just in Europe for the last couple of years, we didn't have like major conflicts besides the war in Bosnia in the 1990s. So it's something that also is a kind of a new normality, that we in Europe are also affected by the wars and the disasters. That's the normality in all around the world. Places, take Yemen, take a lot of African countries, Nigeria, where or Libya, where there's a lot of war and terrorist actions going on all the time, unnoticed mostly by Western media. And I think it brings the conflict closer to us, and to understand that we are like one nation, like one people. Yeah, so we cannot separate us as the, let's say, rich West from the conflicts around the world, but we, with climate change, with pandemic, and with wars, we need to understand we are one people. We are just all together. And this is my only hope, that we will understand in these times of crisis that we are one people, and that the we don't need to listen to any leaders that are calling for more weapons or calling for a war, or young men like me to a war. to become a soldier, to die. And that's something we really need to be aware of, that staying at home is a better choice to die than to die in a war. And there's nothing to be ashamed of or to be frightened about, or to be to be drawn into a war where you will die or where you will be severely wounded. It's nothing heroic. I think there's a great danger to it too, that these kind of events around us might distort our vision, our life, and instead we should try to have our own peace of mind, to have our own rationality, and making our own choices based on what's good for the people and what's good for us, our family, our friends, and what can be done by my own hands, and not something that will be overwhelming to me.
Yeah, I would definitely agree to what you told, and that particular point about having that gratitude that, you know, like, I am alive, I'm doing good, I have food on my plate, I have roof on my head, and that's all that matters right now. So yes, that is something that we really need to think about, and we really need to practice on our day-to-day life. And also that you told that, you know, sometimes, you know, looking too much into social media or looking too much about what is happening around can affect us really bad. But I think there's a thin line there where, you know, you getting to know what is happening around you and you living through the trauma by yourself. So I believe that, you know, it's really good to look into what is happening around, like, you know, like a war or a rape or, you know, or anything, you know, about COVID or number of deaths. So you would be more aware of your surrounding. You would be more aware of, you know, you'd be more socially responsible to know the world around you. And there is also the other side of the line where we think too much. And we, for example, I see a news about COVID cases increasing in my city. And I just sit at my house, not doing anything at all, not going out for grocery shopping, not, you know, socializing with my friends at all. It can affect me, my mental health really bad, where I would feel low, I would feel lonely. So instead of doing that, you take much more precautions as told by the government. Say you wear your mask properly, you sanitize, you know, frequently. And, you know, there's this thin line of how you see things. And I think we have to have the right vision to see that and be more aware of our surrounding and be a little less emotional and be more practical and take quick decisions and act accordingly and have more empathy towards people. And yes, I completely agree with you. And it's something we really need to think and practice.
I think there is like two major perspectives to life, like from a spiritual side, what I understand. It's the one thing is a withdraw from the world and like find your peace. Like, let's say, go to a monastery, pray, go to the church, meditate. And let's say like, put all the conflicts like clouds passing by, and you just you notice it, but without like being affected by it. You just notice it, you be calm, you use your like tai chi or yoga or other practice, and then you get this kind of, you notice but you will not be affected by the events, whatever will happen. And this is one spiritual perspective. And the other thing is the being, let's say, responsible and being a social person, like not being in the monastery, but in being in the city street with all the problems around you, helping everyone, like spreading bread, like being like practical help for people, and seeing this as a spiritual practice, like say, like, we don't need the mountains to meditate, but we need the street life, the beggars, the prostitutes, to talk with them, to help them out of their way, to be with the refugees, to be with the criminals, to help them out of prison, to help them find a new life, a new perspective, a new hope. Do you believe in this kind of two perspectives of spirituality, or you have your own spirituality, or you're not spiritual at all? How is your approach?
I have a very different perspective on spirituality, for sure. Everybody has different level of spirituality. Say, some people can meditate, you know, for 10 minutes, and some people can meditate for hours. Some people can meditate not even for 2 minutes. It's based on how spiritual they are, is what I believe. And I think with you being more spiritual comes the act of you taming your emotions, right? You understanding yourself better and, you know, doing the right thing always. And I believe that, as you told, sometimes when we meditate, it's about, you know, having clouds of thoughts and then just letting it go. I think that's the right way to meditate. But also, I believe that when you're feeling really heavy, you don't neglect how you're feeling, right? You sit with it, you feel it, and then you get past it. But nobody talks about that phase of, you know, a person feeling too much of intense emotion. Rather, they would say, you know, just meditate, just let it go. But it doesn't work like that. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy, and it takes a lot of hard work for you to let it go. And I think that period of time, say it can be days, it can be months, you would be in pain. And, you know, it's something that you had to deal all by yourself. And even though we have that sense of community where we people get along and talk about, you know, mental health and mental illness, there are still a lot of people who suffer in silence. And I think it's important to also address that pain that comes along with, you know, before you let it all go. I think that is also a practice of spirituality. And yes, act of service, as you mentioned, is also being spiritual to some extent. And I think with me, I always believe that I need to keep myself sane. I need to keep myself happy. I need to keep myself healthy to take care of people around me. And, you know, some people might say that this is selfish, but I think this is self-care and self-love, where, you know, you prioritize your needs first. And then once you're like all good mentally, physically, spiritually, you can help a lot more other people. And that's what I do with my podcast as well. You know, when I'm low, when I'm not feeling good, I try to, you know, be by myself for a while. And I try to, you know, do activities that brings peace in my day-to-day life. I try to cultivate new habits. You know, I try to better myself. And then once I'm up and running, I come back to talking to people about my journey, about my experience, about my hardship. And I think it takes a lot of strength for people to open up about their stories and tell, you know, hey, this is what I've been going through. And, you know, it was really tough. I think you can see a lot of people, you know, not understanding mental illness well, or not understanding the need of mental health. And there's always this absurd comment about, you know, about people who are suffering from mental illness. But I believe that there are a lot of people still out there who are really compassionate and who understand and who would like to help, you know, people with mental illness. And I also believe that when a person is suffering, say, for example, I'm suffering from some form of mental illness, and, you know, it's really hard to find the right help. It's really hard to ask for help. I think it takes a lot of courage and strength to do so. And spirituality is like, it's like a spectrum. It's different for different people. I think it all comes with first understanding yourself better, understanding, you know, who you are, understanding the world around you, understanding what is that you love? What is that you don't? what affects you, what doesn't, what is your past trauma, you know, how do you deal with it, what are your insecurities, and understanding this aspect of yourself from within is being spiritual. And once you do this, you're in that level, you're in that higher level, and then you can always help others. Because for example, I'm low and I come to you and I talk, you know, that, you know, hey, Florian, I'm really sad today. You won't feel like talking to me. It's about, you know, finding that light from people who have experienced different things and, you know, understanding life better and finding that light from within so you can help or provide that same light to so many other people. So yes,
for me, I think it's totally about acceptance, seeing what's there and accept it fully. I was on the men's workshop and we were like going and fighting each other most of the time. And to accept aggression, to accept the, so we were laughing for 10 minutes. So we started laughing and then after three minutes, our guide told us, okay, now keep laughing for another 7 minutes. So we had this emotional practice. We started crying for 10 minutes and we was crying 10 minutes. And then you see like a 10, eight men laughing and crying for 10 minutes. It makes something with you. And it's, I think we did the Osho dynamic meditation, and it's quite active and with a lot of rolling on the floor, hitting walls. From outside, you would see like it's a mental hospital. It's insane people rolling on the ground, screaming for no reason, shouting at each other, hitting with their hands against the wall and whatever. I think we need the whole spectrum of emotional acceptance to see who we are, and meditation doesn't need to be a quiet thing, and just the whole spectrum of humankind, human nature can be accepted. And then we as male and female, we have a set of different energies we may also need to accept and to explore fully. How do you explore your femininity, and would you like to participate like in a female workshop?
Haven't participated in a female workshop, but after I moved to Berlin, I started yoga classes. So it is about practicing yoga for an hour and then having an hour of therapy where, you know, you sit in group and talk about what you were feeling while you were practicing yoga and how your week was and, you know, how you're actually feeling at the moment. And that really helped me for a long period of time, where because the yoga classes, of course, it ended, it had to end. But for the longest of time, it helped me a lot to see other people without judgment when they're talking. You know, they say a lot of things. And when I talk, it's really good to know that, you know, you're sharing your feelings and there is this eight people sitting around you who don't judge you at all. And you can say whatever you're feeling, and there's always a wide hand open to hug you. And I think that feeling of, you know, comfort, that feeling of, you know, that end of receiving love and giving love, it was really beautiful. And I really enjoyed yoga classes. And I'm someone who kind of like practice yoga, who exercise, who I would take myself on a walk. I would... of course, meets a lot of other podcasters or other people on social media, ask them if they would like to share their experience. And I'm still getting to connect one-on-one. And I attend yoga classes. I'm still in touch with my yoga fellow mates, and we still share, you know, photos and pictures on group about how our day was, how our practice is. So that's something that really helped me for a long period of time. And I haven't been to a workshop as a female workshop as such. But when I was young, I used to attend a workshop called Infinite Thoughts. So it was really great where, you know, you can just sit and they practice. We kind of like sit together to practice how to be happy, how to, you know, how to express your emotions the right way. Because I think when we were all growing up and as a child, you don't really know why you feel certain emotions. And it's really hard to identify what you're really feeling, you know, especially during your teen years. And me during that time, I was really an angry person. And even though I'm sad, it comes out as anger, you know, somehow. So I think most of us might have dealt with something like that. And it kind of helped me regulate my emotions the right way. And you always have that creative column where when you write a poem or when you have a musical thing, you can always express your talents out to the group. It was a large group. It was a group of 60 people. And we always during the last 5 minutes of the class, we sit in circle and we used to laugh out loud. So like sometimes for the first time when it was happening, I kind of felt it was crazy, kind of felt really insecure to do that. But like once I let it go and I started laughing along with other people, you don't really know why you're laughing, but you're just laughing. And like when you hear a lot of laughter, when you hear, that's why, you know, people usually say that you need to surround yourself with a lot of happy people or people with good vibes, because you attract such feelings. And when you see that, even though, you know, you're 100% depressed and then you have a set of people laughing around you, you just suddenly start laughing for no reason, because you tend to adapt to such feelings. And it was a good practice. It was really good. And those are the two workshops or two classes that I've attended in, I think, for a lot of years.
Yes. Okay, cool. Yeah, for me, I think also it's the love and community. It's the key, like acceptance and then love and community to deal with difficult times, but also for general life, for everyday life. And I remember the first two relationships, I feel really accepted and feel loved. And later it was more difficult because I didn't feel that accepted or loved. The same with community. So it was like up and down. If I have the right people around me, or my mentality changes and the people changes, or the people changes and then my mentality changes, it's just like kind of the chicken or the egg problem. Like who comes first? Is it outside in or inside out? And many people believe like we can just change our mind. And the world will change. So it's like Napoleon Hill book, Think and Grow Rich, or like Rhonda Byrne's The Secret, attract the things from the universe you want. As far as I understand you, and also there's a book from Ayn Rand that's like the virtue of selfishness, to start with like oneself and then growing, like to come from to grow and to become like a person and to create a community around you that is supporting and is happy. So would you say the change is inside out, or is it outside in?
I think it's the change inside out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Just a minute.
Yeah, leave it. Bring it all out from the inside.
So I think it's the change from inside out, because once we kind of make the changes within, you become a happy person. You become someone with the right mindset. Mm-hmm. So you can cultivate that habit, or like you can, you know, people always see and learn and grow. That is something that I believe in, because even from a lot of people that I meet, I always, you know, my mind would always think, what can I learn from this person? Or, you know, what is it that is so special about them that, you know, I can practice? So I think with that, a lot of people are with that mindset where they see, they learn, and they grow. So once you bring in that change from within, you can see that, you know, people around you will automatically change, like the situations around you would change. And I think it's always inside out, because yes, it can also be the other way around where you are learning from other people, but it's from outside in. So maybe it's both the ways, you know, it's like a circle. It goes on and on. But I believe that putting that work in bringing that development within yourself is really hard, because a lot of people don't even think about themselves. Trust me. They will just, you know, get up, work, sleep, eat. It's like a routine.
Eat, sleep, and they don't repeat. Like, or in the coding world, you would say like code, eat, sleep, repeat.
Yes. Yeah. So a lot of people would, you know, are just living that cycle of life where they don't care about themselves. They don't care about people around them. Mm-hmm. But I think it's for people who are more focused on to bringing a certain changes in life and, you know, regulating their emotions, or, you know, understanding a friend. You know, it takes a lot of effort, because say if a friend is suffering from something, or, you know, she just wants someone to talk to, and you being there, you giving them that sense of support, needs that time and effort from your end as well, right? So that's something that we all need to consider, because we all can, you know, everyone can eat, everyone can sleep, everyone can work, yes. But what is so unique about you? What is so different about you? You know, what are you except for, you know, regular things that normal people do? You know, are you compassionate? Are you lovable? Are you sensible? You know, such attributes or such adjectives that defines you is always important. And I think once you get to know yourself, you get to know the world around you, you get to help people around you, you get to create your own community, and there lays the strength. There comes the change as well, where, you know, if it's just you, you know, people usually say that, you know, I don't like littering, you know, littering out. And usually I tell my friends not to do so, and they get pissed off. They will say, you know, Siri, you know, if I change, what is the big change? You know, everyone is doing it. So if I don't do it, there's no much of a difference, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, I always believe that when you want to make a change, you know, you have to make it in a smaller group, you know, make it local so it gets global. So that's something that I really believe in, because say if I think that, you know, I need to create this change in my city, just in my city, right? Mm. And then the city gets clean. And then the neighboring city would look into this city, and they'll change. And then that affects, that has a recursion, and, you know, it kind of change makes.
I totally believe, and I can give some proof to it. There's the city of Tübingen with Boris Palmer, it's their city mayor. And they're doing their own politics. Even many other places in Germany, they have their own their own agenda. They do much more for climate change, environment friendly, and so on. And the city mayor, so it's just one person, Boris Palmer, and he ruled the city by himself, and he make really different policies than whole of Germany, and he can do that in his own city. So it's like his city, he can, there is, for example, the buses is for free for everyone, no tickets, no nothing, because he thinks this buses should be free. So in Tübingen, the buses are free for everyone, you know, no tickets to buy, and all other places in Germany you need to buy a ticket for a bus. And this is just one of the example that you as individual, you can have a great strength to make even political changes in a city, and more so in your personal environment. If you becoming a person full of ideas with the optimistic, positive mindset, you can bring a lot of changes to the people. Like it's as for me, I having many clients and many colleagues. I give some good ideas or share a positive feeling, so I can change the life in Hamburg and the city of Hamburg and the life of many vulnerable groups and many people that will be happy about having a new job or having about a new life. new education or whatsoever is needed. And but I would like to discuss the topic of the body. So that's something that's hardly be changed, I guess, because we change the mind. For example, we think, yeah, I'm happy, but then, or I'm thin, I'm more sporty, but then you look at yourself and you say like, oh, but I'm still a fat guy, and I'm still not very sporty, even I have a positive mind, because it needs like some, let's say, real work to work with the body and to be like constantly like, let's say, eating healthy food, doing a lot of sports in a like work environment where you have many over hours, where you sleep little and you work a lot. How to squeeze in sports into this kind of practice when you are not like a natural, let's say, yoga artist.
Ooh, yoga artist. That's some word. I guess it's about you know, that sense of support that you could provide. Say, you know, there is a protest going on in my city for XYZ reason, you know, and you can see that there are 30% of the population there, and like, you know, that doesn't have much of the impact, but it, you know, still people are talking about it, but there's no real change. And then you see the next day, because they were 30%, next day is 50. And then there's, you know, a lot of more people, a lot of media coverage, a lot of more people are talking about it. Once it is 70, there's a lot of other, you know, there's like, it's on national news. So I think that kind of impact is really necessary, because say you as an individual can change the world, and, you know, we as a group can definitely change many more other things. You know, that's something that I believe in. And having that mindset, that like mindset, you know, when you told about having, you know, that sense, that recognizing who you are, you know, that comes down to that, where, you know, when you mentioned that maybe you're not good with fitness, but you have a really great mindset, right? So, so instead of focusing too much on, you know, why am I not really good at fitness? You know, why couldn't I do it? Maybe you should focus, you should pour more water onto the plant that is growing instead of, you know, watching a dead plant. That is what I believe in, because, you know, not everybody is 100% perfect. Not everybody has all the talent in the world, you know, but everybody has that unique talent they can always improvise on, and they can always be recognized about. And when you say that, you know, with fitness, I'm not so great. You know, I've never been on any of the sports team in school, but I've always been a compiler on shows, or I've always participated in creative activities like poem or reading out my poem, or, you know, participating in a skit. And I'm known for that in school, you know, but when it comes to sports, I'm not, right? So you cannot excel in everything. I think even with our education system, a lot of parents, you know, push children to do different activities, especially from the country that I come from. Because, you know, parents kind of like would be like, you know, you should study from, you know, 9 to 6. And then after 6, you have your piano class. And after that, you need to do your homework. And after that, you have your math tuition. I'm like, oh God, give us some break, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about identifying what you're really good at, and, you know, what you really like doing. And then give a lot of time and energy into improving and molding yourself to be something out of it. And I think that's how people should choose their career as well, because we all choose, when it comes to career, we always think that, you know, what gives us money, you know, what is really great in the market, you know, okay, let's do that. But I think it shouldn't be like that. It should come with, you know, what you're really good at, what would you love doing all your life, and how can you make money out of it. Money should always be your last option, And that's how I've always seen, you know, have chosen my career path, where, you know, I always sit down, I list things that I'm good at, I list how can I make a career out of it, you know, and I kind of write down what I have to do to get into the field, to get into the market. And I think that's...
Sorry, can I interrupt you at this point?
Yes.
Because I want to give some remark on this side, the side's a little bit comic one. So there are always these people, they have like a special interest. For example, they are kids and they want to be investment bankers. And they say, I'm so happy to be an investment banker. And later on, they be very happy investment bankers and they earn a lot of money. Other people, they are be IT engineers and they love IT. And later they are so lucky that they found a job in the IT world. And then there are people who like to watch TV and drink coffee and beer and eat popcorn. And that's really their biggest joy. They eat popcorn, they drink beer, and they watch TV. Yeah. So there is no job watching TV, eating popcorn, drinking tea, and sleeping all day, and do nothing besides like drinking alcohol and sitting on the couch. There's no job called drinking beer and sitting on the couch. So a lot of the really fun activities like drinking beer, sitting on the couch, it's not there is a no possibility of a career. What would you tell these people who say like, I don't have a talent, or my talent is watching TV and eating popcorn, I'm really good at eating popcorn?
I would say that they should be food bloggers or, you know, movie reviewers. It's still a job. People really love it. And you know, when I kind of like sit down, you know, in my free time, if I want to watch something on YouTube, I immediately go, I look for, you know, movie reviews. I look for, you know, what food is right at what place, you know, because food bloggers, it's really tough because they need to explain how the consistency of the food is, what kind of different tastes are there in the food. So it is a tough job, come on. So I think that there is still scope.
Absolutely.
For those people who, yeah.
The blog about popcorn.
Yeah.
Or the sofa guy podcast discussing movies.
Yes.
So I'm very happy to understand what perspective you have on people, like that you see all the strengths within the people, and to always see the good point about the bad points.
Thank you.
giving everyone like a self-worth and let's say some confidence about themselves, that even watching TV and eating popcorn can be a career if you took another perspective to it. So that's quite impressive. Thank you very much for this talk. Maybe we come to the end, we make a wide area. We started with the Ukraine crisis, and then we go talk to about spirituality and community and love, and then today now we end with popcorn and TV and how to make a career out of it. Thank you so much, Sirisha, to have you with me.
Thank you so much, Florian. It was a pleasure, you know, doing this episode with you. And for the guys who've got the chance to listen to this podcast, can follow my work, can listen to my podcast. It's called At That Girl Online Show. So I would love to hear more reviews and hear more feedbacks from you guys about my podcast, about my blogs. And you can follow me on Instagram as well. I'm called At That Girl Online Show. And hope we can connect soon again. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you, Florian.
So, that was Spring Tribe Podcast talking with Sirisha today. I hope you liked it, and join me in the next episode.